You are listening to Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Hello, my name's Hugh Owen and I'm one of the producers of the Cycling Podcast.
And I'm Adam Bowie and I'm another producer of the Cycling Podcast.
And so perhaps, Adam, we should start by saying, where were we on Sunday?
Well, Hugh, at the end of Sunday, we were at the top of Alpe d'Huez.
We were, weren't we? And at the beginning of Sunday, we were 103 miles away from Alpe d'Huez with three massive mountains in between the two points, weren't we?
And it was, yeah, we were basically scared senseless in a large starting pen at Briançon.
We were, because we were there to do the Étape du Tour 2022, and we didn't know that we were that each other were doing it until a few weeks before. I think we spotted on email that we were both doing it, and so Lionel suggested or asked us if we wanted to record some of our experiences. So that's what we both did individually. We kind of on the ride and before the ride, and now we recorded some bits of audio just to kind of document our experience, our suffering. And so in this episode of Kilometer Zero, that's what we're going to do. And it's going out on the day of stage 12 of the Tour de France, which is the stage that we rode.
That's right. Yeah. So for those who don't know, the Étape du Tour is it's a mass participation sort of sportive organised by ASO, who are the organisation behind the Tour de France. It's been running since 1993 and it usually runs over a stage, a full stage, mirroring one in that year's tour. They mostly seem to be in the Alps and the Pyrenees. It's also actually a race. There is a winner of it. There's podium and everything. Not that I think either Hugh or I were particularly challenging for that. For obvious reasons, it hasn't taken place for the last couple of years. I think the last one was due to happen in 2020. It was due to happen in Nice. So a rare occasion away from the Alps and the Pyrenees. And as Hugh's just said, this year's race replicates stage 12 of this year's tour. There were about 14,000 riders signed up, and including your hosts here, both of which we should say we were first-timers.
Absolutely.
So Hugh, tell us the tale of the Étape.
Well, of course, and what else could we, you know, call this episode but the tale of the Étape? So, the Étape du Tour 2022, 167.8 kilometres from Briançon to Alpe d'Huez. I'm doing my best Lionel impression here. Over 4,700 metres of climbing, and it was climbing right from the start with the 23-kilometre ascent of the Col du Lautaret and the Col du Glibier, topping out at 2,642 metres, the highest point of the day and of this year's Tour de France. Then there was the long descent of Valois, followed by a brief climb up to the Col du Telegraph, then a descent to Saint-Michel de Maurienne. After a section in the Maurienne Valley, where riders formed into groups and small pelotons, there was a touch of wheels in the group I was riding in and a crash. I just avoided it, made it feel like a real race. We then took on the enormous 29-kilometre, 5.2% average Col de la Croix de Fer. Now, this is where the heat of the day really began to tell, with lots of riders struggling. That was followed by a long descent to the Lac de Vernier in Almont. Then it was onto the valley road to Le Bourg d'Oisans before the final climb of the day, Alpe d'Huez. So, as we said, this will be stage 12 of this year's Tour de France, which takes place on Thursday. That's today, if you're listening today, on this day of the stage. It was also the stage that famously saw Greg LeMond and Bernard Hinault come to the finish together in 1986, which, of course, Richard Moore wrote so brilliantly about in his book Slaying the Badger. 14,000 people signed up to ride the Étape, we think. We're not sure exactly how many actually started, but I've seen estimates of around 11,000. 8,684 finished ahead of the time cut, according to the official results. The winning man was the 33-year-old Austrian Stefan Kirchmeier, former rider with Tyrol Cycling Team. He won with an overall time of 5 hours, 17 minutes, 25 seconds. It's a lot quicker than we did it. Nearly 6 minutes ahead of Loic Ruffoy and Jacques Le Breton, who took the other podium places. The winner of the women's race was Flavia Oliveira from Brazil with a time of 6 hours, 31 minutes, 58 seconds, just beating fellow Brazilian Laís Sáiz by a single second on the line. But much more importantly, the cycling podcast's very own Adam Bowie came in a very respectable 3,882nd, way ahead of his teammate, Hugh Owen, who rolled in 6,722nd place. But that did include all the feed stops, so I'm going to say I spent way too long over my lunch. Anyway, that was the tale of the ETAP. Now let's hear what it was actually like to ride the ETAP. Hello. My name's Hugh Owen. I'm a producer on the Cycling Podcast, and I'm here in France, in the Alps, in a little village called Venosque, just outside Bourg d'Oisin, and I'm here to do the Étape du Tour, which is tomorrow, starting in Briançon. I'm staying at a really brilliant hotel called the Hotel au Bon Accueil. Very nice place, very friendly. Set up for cyclists. I'm actually standing in their cycling museum, which is in their kind of outhouse at the back. Lots of cycling jerseys hanging from the ceiling above my head. Must be a couple of hundred up there. Lots of photos and old articles on the wall. Big chalkboard with a roll of honour of Tour de France winners since 1903. Although finishes in 2019 with Egan Bernal, so they need to update the last couple of years. Wonder who won those. Anyway, the ETAP is tomorrow. It's going to be an early start. Well, it's going to be not too early for cycling. I think my wave goes off about 8:15, but they're going to close the roads into Briançon at 6:30, so we've got to leave here quite early. I was talking to cycling friend of mine who'd done, I think maybe not the ETAP, maybe the Marmot, and he's saying the atmosphere going up Alpe d'Huez at the end is just brilliant. Lots of people out, and I guess there will be lots of people here already for the tour stage. It's only in 4 days after the ETAP, so hopefully they'll all be on Dutch Corner already. So yeah, I'm going to try and report in as I go around the route. I'm sure there'll be lots of heavy breathing. Apologies in advance. Let's hope I make it round.
Okay, I am here at the Le Tour d'Étape in Briançon, and I'm in the village, the expo village that they have, and it's all too real because the ride is tomorrow. So I have already checked in, got my race numbers. I'm in the 11th pen of 14, which means I start about an hour and a bit after the first riders. That's only slightly worrying because that's an hour less I have to complete the course. But that's the way they start these things, fastest first, obviously. So the expo is basically an excuse to sell you a lot of things. There's a lot of food venues, vendors selling sports nutrition goods and so on, although maybe trying a new sports nutrition product on the day of the ETAP is not the most sensible thing. That said, I will drink and eat anything I'm given, probably at the top of various mountains tomorrow. So we've got three big climbs, got the Col de Glibier, then onto the Croix de la Fer, and finally Alpe d'Huez. And I've got to be up there by about 8:20, I think, in tomorrow evening. So about 12 hours for me to complete the course, which I really, really hope I can do in much less than that. Slight concern is that the weather is really quite warm. Yesterday I saw one of those public weather signs and it said 33 degrees, so I'm really hoping that it's not quite that warm tomorrow. In fact, on the top of the Galibier, maybe it will be a little bit cooler, so we will see. And we had a briefing this morning, and the suggestion was that maybe
maybe we should bring jackets to help us in the wind on the way down. Well, lots of excitement here. There's some BMXers riding up and down the ramps, getting a nice round of applause. So, next time you probably hear from me, I will be at the start. Let's see how it goes.
So, here we are at the start. I'm in Wave 10. This is Hugh from the Cycling Podcast. About to start the Étape du Tour. Sunday the 10th of July. Had a long drive over from Bourg d'Oisans, a couple of hours over the Lautrec, parked up in Briançon. Bit of a search for the backdrop, but we're all here now, ready to go. Not sure how long I've got to wait, actually. Probably about half an hour. It's very busy. I'm towards the back of Pen 10, and there's still people trying to squeeze in, but everyone's keen. There's a good atmosphere. Bit of nerves in the air, bit of nerves in my tummy, but looking forward to it. It's a beautiful day, sunny day. It's going to be hot, I think. Not much wind, so I hope it goes well. I'll check in later on.
It's 7:45 in the morning, and I am in my pen at the start. Palpable sense of anticipation. 14,000 odd riders. Well, a few thousand have already set off. I'm in pen 11. I think Hugh from the Cycling Podcast is in pen 10, but I've not seen him, just up the road. But we'll be setting off in about half an hour.
So just at the top of the Lautrec now, just stopped at the first water stop. It's pretty well organised, really. Loads of tents with Vittel. Francois approve of Vittel, I'm not sure. He'd better be able to taste it, though, without seeing the label. So, top of the Lautrec, it's been sort of gentle spin. I'd say gentle spin. I'm pretty out of breath, but relatively gentle spin for a mountain. And then I'm about to do the up to the Galibier now on the supposedly slightly easier side. But we'll see. It doesn't look easy to me. I'm looking at it now. But it's an amazing sight. Just a stream of bikes snaking up the hairpins. Beautiful day. Blue skies. The mountains. See the glaciers up there gleaming away. Really enjoying it. So speak to you again in a bit. So we are just coming past the tunnel to the Galibier. So if you're in a car at this stage, you go that way, if the road wasn't closed, obviously. Cyclists, let's go up over the top of the Galibier, which you want to do anyway, let's face it. This is a point for anywhere you get steep. And the altitude's already getting to me a little bit. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking.
Top of the Galibier. 5.1, 23k, easily the longest climb that a long shot I've ever done. I actually feel okay. Did it in about just over 90 minutes. So now, massive downhill. Putting on the wind jacket and heading off. Okay, sit rep. I am at the feed station, 5 kilometres from the top of the Croix de la Fer. Descent was interesting. Some real speed demons who overtake you on any which way you like, but descent off the Galibier was awesome, really. Then there was a long stretch through the valley. Well, you go up to the telegraph as well, which is, but it's not really a climb from this side. And you come down that, and then there's a long stretch through the valley. Got on a nice little train gang for that. A random group of people. At least one Brit, but lots of French people in it, I think. Should note, actually, you can't really tell. All the numbers have little flags on them, and the flag is supposed to indicate which country you're from. However, my flag is French, so I get lots of people speaking to me in French, which isn't totally helpful. Anyway, it is currently, check this watch, 10 past 2. 5 kilometres, as I say, to go to the Croix de la Fer. I can see it looming above me. So let's crack on, and it's downhill, flat a bit, and into the Alpe d'Huez. And it's hot. I haven't mentioned how hot it is. Jesus, it's hot. Random people at the side of the road helping out with water, but I've just sort of drunk about 2 bottles just sitting in this feed zone before I go out with 2 more full bottles. Anyway, onwards and very much upwards.
All right. I haven't checked in for a while, but probably tell it's getting quite hard now. I'm on the Col de la Croix de Fer. Probably not even a third of the way up. It's now super hot. Probably 30-ish. I think it's meant to be hotter next week when the tour comes through. So did the Galibier. Came down the Galibier. I think I probably won the slowest descent prize for the day. What was it Tom Dumoulin said about? I can't remember who. In the Giro in 2018 when they're trying to chase Chris Froome. He descended like my grandmother. Terrible Dumoulin impression. Well, I was like the great-great-grandmother. Passed by a lot of people, but made it to the bottom. Did see a couple of nasty spills on the way down the Telegraph, which is a very fast flowing descent, not too steep, so maybe a bit deceptive. A couple of bloodied limbs, but I think people are okay. And then down the Telegraph, down the valley, where it turned into, I'd say, cross headwind. And there was a lot of groups forming, disintegrating, forming again. That bit was quite fun, actually. That gave you, of all the bits today, that gave you sort of the taste of what the pros do. Because the rest of it has just been survival. Anyway, quite a fair, it's a beautiful climb, but hot. And then up over this, down to Bourg d'Oisans, then Alpe d'Huez. So I'll check in on Alpe d'Huez. Bye.
Oh, Croix de la Fer done.
Just over 2,000 metres altitude. Now I'm hoping for a long downhill before we do the Alp. Oh.
Oh, so nearly there. I'm on Alpe d'Huez. I'm on Dutch Corner. Dutch fans are just starting to arrive, I think. A few camper vans here. Sound system's getting pumped up, handing out water. It's a very, very hot day, and it's been a really great day. This last bit is pedal stroke by pedal stroke. I think I might, next time if I do this, I'll bring a 32. That's going to be my motto of the day. But it's been a fantastic day. Great atmosphere among all the riders. And that's it. Let's get to the top.
Tour d'Etape done. Four meters short, 4,500 meters, 167 kilometers. Finishing on the top of Alpe d'Huez, which was a lot harder than when I do it in Zwift and took me a lot longer. Although, granted, when I do it in Zwift, I don't normally do two other equally as big, if not bigger, mountains before I tackle Alpe d'Huez. So maybe that has something to do with it. But yeah, finished it in, I don't know exactly my time. Definitely when I look at the numbers on the bibs of the people around me, I caught up quite a few people. On the other hand, some people passed me, definitely. And because it's quite a flat finish, so the finish is pretty much as it is in the Tour de France. And if you remember, it's kind of, it was a bit of a sprint finish. So I sprinted, no need. And then there's a rise with 50 metres to go, and oh, your legs really tell you about that, don't they? But yeah, I've got, now got the medal to prove it, and that's one off the bucket list. Great fun. Maybe next time choose a very slightly easier stage. I think that's got to be like one of the hardest you could possibly do.
Chapeau, Adam, not for finishing, but for remembering to record something after the finish, because I completely forgot to record something. I was so fried.
Well, look, chapeau, Hugh, as well, because you did finish, and I think so many people didn't, including some of my colleagues who were riding with me, and so many bodies we saw strung out on the road on the two sort of final, two of the final climbs. But what were your overall thoughts after doing your first etap?
Why did I do it? Why did I put myself through it? No, I think it was such a brilliant experience, wasn't it? First of all, because riding with that many people I'd never done before. So obviously in my mind I thought it was 16,000 who signed up, but it was less than that. But it felt like that many people. Especially at the beginning in the Pens, and then riding with that kind of line of riders snaking up all those amazing passes. And it was a gorgeous day, wasn't it? It was blue skies and, you know, glaciers glistening and the whole thing. It really was spectacular. So doing that and having those closed roads was a real privilege, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got to say, the people on the side of the road were brilliant as well. I mean, there were some quiet bits, but you had from crazy Danes and Dutch fans who were already getting themselves in place sort of last Sunday for the Thursday stage proper. But you just had lots of regular folk. Maybe they were plus ones or families of some of the contestants, but they would just sort of, allez, 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 and they'd read your name on your bibs. We all had bibs and little flags on. I think I said mine had a French flag, so they all thought I was French, but you know, don't worry about that too much. But you just had that kind of camaraderie, and you know, you're just chatting to people sort of you've never met before in your life, exchanging looks as we grind up at sort of 10% in 36 38 degree even heat. But it was, nonetheless, it was just extraordinary. And then right at the finish, you know, you had people hammering the hoardings, you know, as everyone finished in, as though you were winning a sprint in the Tour de France, even if you were finishing several thousand places down, as both of us were.
Did you manage a little sprint at the end?
I absolutely did. Yeah, I opened it up. And then, as everyone will no doubt see when whoever wins today's stage, there is a little bump at about 50 metres and you suddenly feel it, you know, having thought, oh, this is flat. I'm just big gear going for it. And then, and also realising actually that they're handing out medals about 1 metre past the stop line. So you really have to screech the brakes on. But yeah, I did sprint.
There wasn't that kind of runoff they get in the Tour de France where they kind of get grabbed by one of the soigneurs and kind of held up. It was just like you went over the line full pelt and then there was somebody in front of you handing you a medal.
I know, so no time on for that super slow-mo motion where you raise your hands in the air or so on. But
no, yeah, none of that. I agree. The people were amazing. And did you see? Well, there were two things. Did you see the one of the Dutch fans on Dutch Corner hosing people down? Did you get hosed down?
I absolutely got hosed down, and I welcomed every drop of water. There were so many locals and people fishing stuff from, you know, some of the villages. So there were official stops and you can fill up with water, but there are lots of unofficial places as well, and people would just have hose pipes and taps running. And there was some guy who was sort of just standing there with cups of extremely cold water offering to pour them over your head. So I cycled straight over to him, had a cup thrown over me. It was enormously welcome in that heat.
And there was the farm, wasn't there, on the Quadder Fir just before the last part of the summit. And the woman who ran the farm got all her kids running in and out of the farmhouse, bringing out cold water. And there was a line, when I was there, there's a line of about 50 really hot, suffering cyclists waiting there with bidons to have them filled up by these kind of like 5 and 6 year old French kids who are having the time of their life, I think.
Oh, and it was fantastic. And, you know, sometimes they'd stick their hands out and you could high five them as you go along if you had the energy to do it. But actually, all those things, you know, just when you're maybe feeling a little bit down, you know, that will suddenly lift your spirits, and you raise it and you try and raise a smile, depending on how close you are to sort of near death or something. But yeah, it was just an extraordinary experience, and I'd absolutely do it again. How about you?
I'd definitely do it again. If you'd asked me like up till about 2 hours after the race, I would have said no, and I would have sold you my bike there and then for a good price. But no, you know, a few days afterwards, yeah, absolutely. I'm sort of addicted to it now. So I really can't wait until October, until the next tour presentation, to see where it's going to be. Do you want some stats?
Yes, please.
So my Garmin told me afterwards that I got through 4,622 calories, 8,000 millimetres of sweat came out of my body. The average temperature was 27 degrees, but the max on mine was 40.
Oh, wow.
So you take that with a little bit of pinch of salt, because, you know, that was one peak, and that could have been in a, you know, next to a really hot rock with no breeze. But 40 degrees was severe, and it felt like that at times, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that trumps my... I looked at mine, I got to... There were plenty of 36s, and I got to 38. But 40 is, you know, extraordinary, and I know with you, it's a hot time. My Garmin told me I sweated 7 litres of water, or sweat loss, I should say. And I'm not sure, even though I drank probably more than... definitely way more than any bike ride I've ever had in my life before, I don't think I actually got through another 7 litres to make up for it. Maybe a couple of beers at the end helped rebalance me. I burned 6,182 calories, which is definitely a record for me. Yeah, and the average temperature for me was 27 as well. So it was quite a monumental effort, and my sort of bike computer gave me a lot of records at the end. For sort of longest, highest, furthest kind of stats.
Okay, so the important stat then, Adam, you did it in...
Well, I did it in 9 hours and 27 minutes and 42 seconds, and that includes about 30 minutes of stop time, because my moving time was almost exactly 30 minutes slower than that.
Chapeau. I did it in 10 hours, 54 minutes and 7 seconds, but that did include a three-course lunch at the top of the Quadder Fir. What do you think for Thursday? Who's going to win Thursday, and what are they going to do it in?
Well, that's a great question, because I caught a little bit of today's race, so obviously Tadej's got a little bit of catching up to do. But I think it's going to really depend on the heat, you know, and just how hard they race those first climbs, because...
So this is it. What if you were kind of... We've done the recon now, so what would you be telling them? What would you tell UAE?
I think you have to tempo up the cold, Olivier. Definitely. Just don't burn your bridges too early on, because they'll be starting later than us. We did start early morning, so that was the only cool climb of the day, if you like. They'll be going faster than us, of course. I think that the Croix de Fer is the place for someone really to set things on fire in the stage.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you could really go away there and just shake the entire race up.
I agree. And I think Pog is going to come back, and I think he's going to get around 4 hours 50. There you go.
That's like 20 minutes faster than the fastest guy on Sunday.
Exactly. Actually, yeah. I've not been very kind to him there. He'd probably be quicker than that. So let's say 4 hours 30. It's going to be a quick day. And would you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. I suspect that's one of the harder ones. That's what I'm telling myself. So I would hope that next time maybe not quite as many climbs. But that said, it was just fantastic to do. I'd never ridden an Alp before this this week. And, you know, living in the southeast of England, we don't have too many long climbs. And it was just a phenomenal experience. And I loved every minute of it, even however painful it was. It was wonderful.
I was thinking that if we do it again, we should get a cycling podcast team together, because, you know, Mitch, Lionel, Ian Boswell.
Yeah.
Lizzie can't definitely do it because she's a pro, so she's not allowed. Tom Wally's a very decent rider, isn't he? So, you know.
Absolutely.
Let's get a team together. We'll get a 1, 2, 3.
I believe we have a kit supplier in place as well. So, you know, yeah, let's go for it.
Cheers, Adam.
Okay, thanks very much, Hugh.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Burney.